Good to have you with us this morning. Great to be together, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or Festivus for the rest of us. Whatever you're doing this holiday season, we're glad that you could be here. Welcome to Greater Alton Church, where we believe and are committed to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. There's a couple of things I want you to know about. The first thing is that Janet's mother, we're having a memorial service here between 2 and 4 o'clock, and if I'm right, I think we might begin the visitation from 2 to 3, and we might start around 3 o'clock. We're going to see. We're playing it by ear, right, Janet? But we'd love to have you come back and celebrate her mother's life with her. And again, that's going to be going on right here between 2 and 4. The other thing is that you'll notice in your bulletin there's something in the right-hand corner when you open it up about some ways to give this Christmas. And you'll notice a couple of Christmas trees over here as you leave to the left. And Coral and Compassion Action are right now doing some stuff and providing some names and some people with some needs. And there's still a few names on that tree. So we hope you'll check that out. See her out at the Welcome Center. We're in a series of lessons we're calling the ABCs of Christmas, the building blocks of God's greatest story. And what we learned last week is that the Christmas story starts long before we hear about mangers and shepherds. In fact, when you sum up the idea of what Christmas is about, you can sum it up in one word, and that's the word Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so as this Christmas story unfolds, it starts in a garden, and we learned that last week, and it flows throughout the Scriptures. And it's this desire that God wants to dwell with us, wants to be present, wants to be involved, wants to be included in our lives, that we see this through every story. It's weaved into every major story in Scripture. That's what you're going to notice. So what I want you to understand, I guess, as we start this second lesson off, is that the reason he wants to dwell, one of the primary reasons God wants to be present in your life, is to speak to you. He has something he wants to say to you. Today we're looking at this burning bush, this particular block over here. And we're going to be looking at our burning bushes. Have you ever felt like God was speaking to your heart? You can't explain it. Oh, you'll have somebody say, well, maybe you are having indigestion. Or maybe you've just got your imagination going, you're thinking. And you're going, no, it's got nothing to do with logic. It's got nothing to do with, oh, just good luck. You've had some good, no, it has nothing to do with luck. I just don't know how to shake this. I believe it's the Lord speaking to me. Or you hearing a voice? Are you hearing, you know, I remember one time when we were constructing the dome, and I was out in the small dome, and you know, you gotta be careful gossiping around here because your voice carries to the other side. And I remember somebody was on the other side of the small dome, and I turned around, I mentioned their name, I go, blah, 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 Bill, I want you to give more money every week. And he's like, and he turns around, and he goes, watch it, Tim. It sounded like Tim talking. I mean, is it a voice or is it an impression? Do you feel nudged? It's all these things. You have a thought that you normally wouldn't think. It would never cross your mind. But for some reason, it's crossing your mind and you can't shake it. And you think, is this like a burning bush in my life? You know, God speaks to us in so many different ways. When you read your Bible, and if you want to pull out your notes, look what the Bible says here in Hebrews. It says these words. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways. And he goes on to say, and now he speaks through Jesus Christ. We need to pay attention to the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be, a church, and really pay attention to the words of Jesus. But notice he says he spoke to his ancestors through prophets, through people, and many times in different ways. And some, God seems to talk to different people in different ways. And I've had people say, God said me, tell me to say this to you. And I'm like, I don't know how to disprove it. I don't even try to. I go, okay. Because I've had moments where I felt like God was speaking to my heart in such a profound way, I could not shake it. That's what I want to talk about, see. Because see, God speaks to us. Look at this up on the screen. Here's a list of ways God speaks to us. God speaks to us primarily through His Word. We know that. The primary way God speaks is through the Bible. After all, He wrote it down. You know, so there's enough here to, enough to know and enough to hear and enough to do. And He speaks to us through His Word. How many times have you been in, you've had a cup of coffee or having a quiet time and this verse or something just leaps out and grabs you by the throat and go, oh my, it's a moment where God is speaking to you. You're not thinking about, oh, this is a good verse for somebody or this is a good verse for that person. My husband needs to read this, my wife or my kids. No, you go, no, this is for me. I need to hear this. I've had moments like that where just in my quiet time, I'm overwhelmed by a thought from Scripture. There's another way, and it's through nature. The Bible talks about this, that God speaks through His creation, declares His handiwork. Another way God speaks is through circumstances, my circumstances and sometimes consequences. Have you ever had something happen? You say, I'm never going to do that again. You learned a lesson. The Bible says somewhere in the book of Proverbs that sometimes it takes something painful to make us change our ways. And it's true. Sometimes a circumstance or a consequence of a decision makes us step back and go, man, God didn't whisper. He shouted something to me through some pain. Sometimes God speaks to us through prayer. Has that ever happened to you? You're praying and then through prayer, but through, I'll talk about that one, through dreams. Sometimes you'll dream something and you're thinking, where is this coming from? Joseph had dreams. John had a dream in Revelation, a vision and dream. Peter had dreams. Sometimes He speaks that way. And then He speaks through prayer, like I just mentioned. I'm praying about something and then this thought just comes into my head. Like it's out of nowhere. Like I'm praying and I get some clarity over it, of a decision I'm going to make. And I feel like God has kind of helped me figure out what I'm going to do next. Sometimes God speaks through His Holy Spirit. He's done that many times in the Bible. He nudges Philip to go share his faith with a man in a chariot. I've had this happen to me, and maybe you've had this happen before. You're somewhere and all of a sudden you just feel this pull to go talk to this person. You don't know. You can't explain it. You don't even know them. You don't even know them. And you find yourself going, okay, I guess I'm supposed to speak up. And then after you start speaking up, you go, oh wow, it's a God thing. Do, 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 do. This is weird. God's opened a door. And sometimes He does that through the Holy Spirit, just nudging me into places. Sometimes God speaks through other believers. Pivotal moments in my life, I have to admit. Pivotal moments of where am I going to live? Where's my ministry going to be? Have come in moments when someone, the last person I thought would speak, was speaking for God, speaks into my heart. I had a woman, and some of you know Susan Dotson. I wasn't a Christian very long, and I was wrestling with some things, and she walks up to me and goes, Tim, I can tell you're distressed about something. I go, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to move here or stay where I'm at and just keep driving, because it was like 36 miles, and she goes, well, have you prayed about it? No. Why don't you pray about it? And I said, well, okay, but I'm afraid when I tell my dad that I'm moving to Mount Carmel, it's going to break his heart. Well, have you talked to God about that? You ought to talk to God about that. And wait for that opportunity. And so, okay, you know, what have I got to lose? So I'm praying about it. And during work, you know, my dad works in a different part of the factory than I do. And for some reason, we happen to be together. And in the middle of all these presses banging out parts, it's noisy. I said, Dad, I need to tell you something. What is it? And I tell him, I'm wanting to move to Mount Carmel. And he goes, oh. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't want to break your heart. And he goes, you're not breaking my heart. I knew this was going to happen. I've been wondering when you were going to go. I'm going, really? This is awesome. You know, this stuff works. I would have never even considered it if God had to use somebody to nudge me a little bit and to think about it and pray about it and suggest it. Sometimes God speaks through other believers. And then God, this is the other category, I don't know how to say it. God just speaks in strange, weird, unusual ways. I don't know how to I don't know what it is. I've had people tell me stories, and there's things that I've experienced. I can't explain it. I cannot explain it as hard as I try. But I know God is speaking to me and speaking into my life and nudging me. He spoke lots of times in the Bible what some scholars call theophany or theophanies, through clouds and pillars of fire and through donkeys. I mean, that's amazing. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you, okay? If you ever lose hope, there it is right there. You can do that. And God does. He does all these things. And like I say, these are moments we just, what do we do with these? And in the Christmas story, the main character is, the characters are God and man. And you see this God wanting to be with man. And throughout this, the theme of the Bible, all these stories, God is in their lives and he's trying to give them something, trying to tell them something. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at this burning bush, this guy named Moses, who is, God speaks to in a very strange way through a burning bush. I'm hoping that this lesson will encourage you to recognize and listen for these burning bush moments. What do we know about Moses? Well, he's an Israelite, and when he's born, the king of Egypt or Pharaoh of Egypt is in charge that doesn't know anything about Joseph. See, Joseph's the guy that got them into Egypt and had blessed Egypt for generations. By this time, the family of Jacob and the 12 sons have grown to almost 3 million people. So they're nervous. The Egyptian government and the Pharaoh is nervous because these people are getting too big. And, you know, they've got like 600,000 troops in their army. That's, you know, that could be a little scary. And so they're a little intimidated. What do we do? So this Pharaoh decides he's going to have every male child thrown in the Nile River as soon as they're born. So he has Gestapo or whatever. He has all these people walking around, sees a pregnant woman. She's about to give birth. And what do? They grab the baby and throw it in the Nile River. Well, Moses is born, and his mother got an idea from this edict, puts Moses in a basket and technically puts him in the Nile River, and he floats down to where one of Pharaoh's daughters is at the shore, sees this basket, it's beautiful newborn, and she falls in love with it, and she wants to raise this child, and she happens to hire or incorporate Moses' mother. She happens to be around. Is, would you help me raise this child? And so Moses is growing up as an Egyptian. He's learning all of Egyptian culture. He's learning Egyptian religion, but his Hebrew mom is also teaching him the story, the Christmas story, all the way back. She's talking about Abraham. She's talking about her dad and how they got here, the whole history of Israel from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. Moses, it says in Exodus 2, he's walking around and he sees the suffering going on of his people. See, he knows he's Hebrew, even though he has Egyptian garb, and he's a prince of Egypt. He sees what's going on. He sees the suffering. He sees the slavery. He doesn't like what he's seeing. In fact, a couple of guys get into an argument. He tries to intervene, and they go, "Who are you?" And you know, one guy's getting beaten, and he kills this Egyptian, and those two guys that are arguing say, "You're going to kill us like you did that guy?" And what's Moses do? He splits. He gets out because Pharaoh now knows he killed an Egyptian. I knew he was a Hebrew. He's going to kill him. So he runs out of Egypt into the land of Midian. And there he marries, finds his wife, settles down, and for 40 years he's taking care of sheep. He's now 80 years old. And this is what happens. Let's read along here in Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending flock for Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. By the way, Horeb is also Mount Sinai. The mountain of God is both called Horeb and Mount Sinai. A lot of stuff happens on this mountain. Ten Commandments are revealed in this mountain. Elijah's hiding his face in the cleft of a rock on this mountain as God passes by. So there's some big thing. They call it the mountain of God for good reason. And there the angel Lord appeared to him in flames of fire and within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was not on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over there and see this strange sight. Never seen it before. Why does this bush not burn up? And look at verse 4. This is a key verse. The Lord saw that Moses came near to look at the bush. God spoke to Moses from inside the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered, here I am. This has a profound impact. This burning bush moment in this Christmas story has a profound impact on Moses. He will never forget this experience. In fact, when he's 120, he's now 120 years old, he's about to die, and he's blessing all the tribes and all the families the 12 tribes. He gets to Joseph's tribe, and look, this is up on the screen in Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy, by the way, means to say again, to say again. So we have a summary of the history of Israel once again. And look what it says here. And Joseph, he said, this is Moses talking, may the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below, with the best of the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest foods in the of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and the fullness, and catch it, and the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. He never forgot that. That was a big deal. It changed his life. What's he encounter? He doesn't encounter judgment or wrath, but the kindness of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the desire of God to be present in his life. You see where this is going? Again, I ask you, have you ever felt like God's speaking to you? You don't have your Bible open, but God's speaking to you. You're not in this building, but God is speaking to you. It's like a burning bush. It's unusual. It's strange. It's weird. But you know something isn't quite right. And it's not something out of your head. It's something out of heaven. And you're like, what do I do with this? Where do I go with this? That's what I want to talk about today, is our burning bush moments. And I've had plenty of them, and I want to share a few of them with you, okay? So what do I do? What do I do when God is present like this? What do I do with my burning bushes? Well, number one, I give God my full attention. Why? You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to ignore these moments that God is speaking to your heart, church. You've got to listen. You want to listen. There an angel of the Lord, it says in Exodus 3, appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. What's an angel about? Well, whenever an angel is present, that means a message is coming. God's wanting to say something. That's what an angel is. He's a messenger. And notice it says, Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought this. It was his idea. He thought of it. I will go over there and see this strange sight. I'm going to look at it. This is something only Moses notices. I don't believe Moses is by himself tending these sheep. I think there's other shepherds around. But for some reason, Moses, it catches his eye. Most scholars believe that this bush that's on fire isn't quite like that, I guess, you know, in the sense of that it's blazing and it lights up the sky like a blazing light from heaven when Jesus is born. No, this is different. Most scholars believe this is a fire, it's a small fire that it catches his eye and sparks his curiosity. It's just for him, and he finds himself drawn to it, and it's in the middle of this thorn bush. There's lots of thorn bushes, but this one here has got a fire inside it, and it's got his attention. It's not a big display. It's a small display on purpose to draw him in closer. I'm going to look at this. How close? So close that God has to say, you're getting too close. That's how close he is to this burning bush. It's unexpected. It's surprising. And listen, church, it's unforgettable. Burning bush might be strange at times, but understand, God is providing an unforgettable moment, a lifelong experience that you carry with you to your memorial service. You know, Stephen is talking about Jesus, about him coming. He's talking to the Sanhedrin. He's talking to the critics of his day in Acts 7. He's trying to get them to understand Jesus came and we need to listen to Jesus. And he's trying to say, how can I prove this? And he goes back to Moses here in Acts 7. Look at this. After 40 years had passed is what he says. An angel appeared to Moses in flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. Moses is like caught up in it. I'm amazed, not frightened, amazed about it. Wow. And notice it says, as he went over to get closer, he heard the Lord say, as Moses moves in closer, God begins to speak. Church, when you give God your attention, you will hear what he says. When you get close, you move in closer, you listen for God's voice, and you move close to it, you will hear what he says. So you're saying God speaks to me, Tim? Absolutely, all the time. Well, how come I don't hear him? Well, it might not be that he's not speaking as much as I'm not listening. I'm not giving him my attention. Denise and I, sometimes I'll be downstairs and I'm watching something, the Packers. And I'm watching, you know, and I've got this remote that will freeze it, it'll stop it, I can rewind it, I can record it, I can do everything with it. She comes down and I know something's up. She'll come down and sit down. And she's got something like a Bible verse, she's preparing something or a book. And she goes, I want to read something to you. I said, okay. And she's looking at me and she starts reading, and then I watch her dart her eyes up. What is she doing? What's she looking for? She's seeing if I'm going, or she's watching to see what I'm looking for. I now get to the point where I freeze it or I just shut the TV off. Why? Because she wants to see, have I got your attention? You know, how many times does this happen? Somebody's saying, I want to read you something, or I want to tell you something. They tell you a story, yeah, but your mind is somewhere else. You didn't hear it. Moses has nothing distracting him. God is attention, and Moses makes sure that God holds his attention. Can God hold your attention? Or is it, yeah. When's this sermon over? Yeah. Fill in the blank. Okay, I got it. Or somebody speaking to us. Yeah. I know you don't like what I'm doing. We blow it off. We change the channel. And God is looking to see where our eyes are. Moses' eyes are glued to this bush. He loses track of where he's at. And so how do I develop these eyes that keep an attention, a mental eye that will keep my attention to what God has to say? It's really easy. I prepare my mind to listen for God. If he's going to speak to me, I prepare myself to always be ready to listen. What was it, Samuel? There's a story about Samuel, and he's now Hannah's son, and she gives him to Eli, the high priest, to raise him up to be a man of God. And they're sleeping one night and a voice says, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up and he runs into the room and goes, yes, Eli, what is it? I'm your servant. What do you need? What did you wake me up for? I didn't call your name. Oh, go back to bed. Okay. He goes back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. I don't know how God says it. You know, and he wakes up again, goes back inside. What is it now? You know, and Eli's going, what? Well, you woke me up again. What's going on? You just called my name. I did not call your name. And then he goes, wait a minute. Because God hadn't spoke to Eli in a long time, but he remembered when God spoke to Eli. He remembers that. And he goes, it could be God talking to you. Go back to bed. Go to sleep. And if you hear his voice again, you say this. Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. That worked for me. That worked for you. And he goes back. He's sleeping. Samuel, Samuel. And he says, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. And God begins to tell him what's going to happen. Some of it is not what anyone wants to hear. Sometimes God, our burning bushes tell us what we don't want to hear. Moses heard some things he didn't want to hear. Sometimes our burning bush may tell us something we don't want to hear, but we need to hear it. How do I get my mind ready for that? I get my mind ready to hear from God. Oh, what's God's voice sound like? Or what can I expect His message to be? Well, Philippians 4 gives us a list of the things to think about that help us hear God. Finally, brothers and sisters, up here on the screen it says this, whatever's true, whatever's noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, whatever's praiseworthy, think about these things. Keep these in mind. Why? Because when you keep these things in mind, you will hear what's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Not only from other people's lips, but from the lips of God. We prepare ourselves for this, church. I have to prepare myself sometimes to listen. Sometimes I get so busy with everything else I'm doing, too busy talking that I'm not listening. And God's trying to get my attention. I find that to be true in my life. So I have to mentally prepare myself. In 2 Peter 1, here's Peter who had heard Jesus with his own ears, saw Jesus with his own eyes. He says, the prophets' words are like light that shine in a dark place, like a flame. That's the kind of lights they didn't have electricity. They were little flames. That light continues to shine in the dark until the dawn comes. It shines until the sun comes. The light from the sun comes. It ties me over until then. The words of the prophets get me ready for the brightest light and what it reveals. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus coming. He's talking about when Jesus comes. And because Jesus has come, he's like the dawn. He's not a little flicker. This is the Son of God. S-O-N, S-U-N, whatever you want. He is. He's bright. He's the bright and morning star. Look what it says. So you need to think about these messages carefully. Then the morning star. What's the morning star? Well, it's Venus. Well, you can see Venus in the morning or in the evening, yeah. But he's not talking about a planet. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Will rise and it will bring light deep inside you. If I really want to take advantage of the burning bushes of my life, I give God my attention. Why? Because it's true and it's the rock song's right, you know, or the phrase is correct. I find what I'm looking for. Right? I hear what I'm listening for. And if I want to hear the word, hear God speak to me in these burning bush moments, I've got to give him my full attention. But see, that's what Moses does. And man, I tell you what, he's got his attention and he keeps going. And this, it leads to the second step in these burning bush moments. And that is, I humble myself before God. And why is that? Humility just opens my heart to what God has to say. I've never seen this. This is something I thought, God's never said this to me, what he says to Moses. Don't come any closer, God said. You ever felt like you've gotten too close to God? I can't say that. I don't think God's ever had to say to me, you're too close, Tim, get back off. Moses is too close. Get your face is in my space, man. Back up. He says, take your sandals off, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Lord, listen to this, I am the Lord of the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hides his face because he's afraid to look at God. He turns. I wonder if he's bowing. He hears, I'm the God of your father. He knows about Abraham and Isaac. His mommy taught him good. Let me tell you what God's done for your people, son. I know the Egyptians are saying this and they're the greatest. They're not the greatest. We're the greatest. We're a nation of promise. And here's what's going on. And so when he hears this, he goes, the same God that talked to my dad. And he's thinking of that story, mom said. The same, the same, the same God that talks to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob is like, great, great, great. Oh my God. He turns away. Why is he hiding his face? He's realizing that the maker of heaven and earth is speaking to him. And it overwhelms him. He's in awe. He's standing in a holy place on holy ground. And I'll tell you, when you start thinking about your burning bushes, those places are holy ground. Let me share a few that I've had. One of the first times I ever felt God speaking to me was at church camp. That's why I love church camp. You know, we're sitting around having a devotional and everybody's singing. Of course, my buddies are talking about girls. They're not really serious, but not me. For some reason, this song gets to me. The big song in my day was Pass It On. It only takes a spark. I don't think we ever sing that at Little Prairie. Maybe we do. I don't know. But I just remember going, and then the guy starts doing this devotional and I'm glued to it. It's like God's talking to me through this person. Or we're in the cabin and my cabin counselor starts sharing some stuff. How does he know about me? He doesn't. God knows. And God has put this person in my life to speak to me. Last year, Danny and I were driving to go see our Uncle Larry. He lived in Flora, Illinois. And he said, I'm going to show you a way I like to go with a motorcycle. And we're going through a town called Louisville. And I go, Louisville? That's where I went to church camp. And so we get into Louisville, little teeny-weeny dive of a town. And I go, I think the church camp, we're going to turn left instead of right. And we go and up the hill, and there it is, the old Epworth Youth Institute. Sounds like an insane asylum, doesn't it? Epworth Youth Institute? What kind of name is that? It's not a church camp anymore. It's a Christian school. And most of the buildings are gone, but not where God spoke to me. Oh God, it's the tabernacle. It's still there. It's big. We call it a chapel in some church, some camps. And I stand where God, I believe, spoke to me. Wanting me to have a real relationship with Him. And I remember vowing and promising, I am going to have a real relationship with you, Jesus. Went home, cleaned up my, you know, changed some here and there, working on my life, read my New Testament through. I was really, and then I meet this girl at Edwards County Fair, and she begins to share scriptures that I thought I'd read in the New Testament. How did I miss these? And she began to challenge what I believed. And then I started going, oh, I don't like this. And I remember standing in front of the old farmhouse, Mom, there in Golden Gate on the hill, right in front of our house. And I'm looking toward the northern skies, you know, it's late at night, stars. And here I am, just a kid. And I go, God, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I've been taught really good things as a child by my mother, my grandmother, and the church that she makes me go to. Now I've met this girl and she's telling me stuff I didn't see before. Yes, she agrees with a lot of stuff, but there's some stuff I don't know what to do with, Lord. I'm confused. But I want you to know, whatever you show me, from this moment on, I'm going to apply. Oh my gosh, things got really hairy in a hurry. The scriptures that Denise was sharing were messing with me even more. I felt lots of pressure, lots of anxiety, but then lots of clarity. How do I explain? I don't know how to explain it. I drive by that farmhouse. The house is gone. It burned down, but the hill is still there. And whenever I'm on that property, I have to make it to that hill and just turn around and look and realize I'm in a holy place. This is a holy place because God spoke to me here. I'm driving to go see Denise. We're going to go on a date. We've been studying. She's been putting it on me. I'm driving through Albion. I'm on my way to Bone Gap, and I come to a crossroads. If I turn right, I go to Mount Carmel. If I go straight, I go to Alney, and that's where Bone Gap is going to be, that direction. And I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I stop at the stoplight. Sinclair Station's over here. Phillips 66 is over there. A church building's right here. The town square is over there. And I get hit with this incredible thought. Tim, you need to get baptized. Oh my gosh. I finally see it. When I go to that crossroads every time I go home and I hit that crossroads, I stop. It's a holy place for me. This campus has had moments that are holy because God is trying to talk to me and trying to reassure me. Everybody, just about everybody here knows where they were during 9/11, right? I remember that first Sunday. The auditorium was where the offices are and the great room are, you know, part of it. Remember that? And here it is after right after 9/11, and we're going. And church is starting, and I can't sing. I'm so bothered, and I just bawl. And I look up at the worship team, and Coral happens to be standing there. And she could see something, and she begins to sing. Our eyes are locked, and I'm just, and she's carrying me. God's using her to carry me through a very hard time. It's like God is saying to me, I didn't hear a voice from Coral going, Tim, you need to give more money. I didn't hear that, okay? I want to be clear. But what I heard was, through song, it's going to be okay, Tim. You're going to be all right. Your family's going to be okay. You'll get through this. It's awful. This is evil. But you don't chicken out. Keep trusting me. And these are just a few places that you're thinking of, those places now, aren't you? Where God spoke to you at a campfire or at a dinner table or across the table at Breadco. I don't want to miss these moments. I don't want you to miss them either. And I take advantage and get these moments when I give this attention and I humble myself. He takes his sandals off. See, Moses is familiar with authority. He knows status, and he knows he's not in the same status as God. He's had people bow to him, and now he finds himself bowing to God. Why? Because in the presence of God, in his burning bush moment, it doesn't go to his head, go, look what God said to me. It doesn't go to his head, it goes to his knees. And he can't help but bow. He takes God that seriously. And we should too. Whenever you have these moments that God is trying to speak to you, it's not very clear, Tim. Oh, listen and bow. At least do that. It might clarify some things. Psalms 95 says, come, let us bow in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are His people. We are His pasture. We are under His care. It's so clear who's in charge. He's the Maker. I'm the maid. I'm the maid. Hebrews 12 says, we should worship God in a way that pleases Him with respect and fear, because our God is like a fire that burns things up. And so whenever you're here in these moments, let it humble you. Let it interest you, but let it humble you. And when you can do that, there's a third thing you can do when you have this burning bush moment. That's compare what God says to what He already said. Then He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. How does Moses know if this is an illusion or his imagination or maybe some, I don't know, mutton, bad mutton? How does he know this? Because he hears God say, I'm the God of your father. You know I spoke to your dad. You know I spoke to Abraham. You know I spoke to Isaac. You know I spoke to God points to his past. It's almost like God is saying, let me do a little fact check with you. Let me do a little background check with you so you can know this is not a figment of your imagination. You know, God, again, he refers to the past, what he's done in the past, what he said in the past, to help Moses accept what he's saying now. In the New Testament, over 170 times, you hear these, you see these phrases, for it is written, or it's in the scriptures. All the gospels, in all the gospels, Jesus is constantly pointing to the scriptures, constantly quoting the Old Testament. In fact, in Luke 24, these two guys on the road to Emmaus, he says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You know, Jesus quotes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He also quotes the Psalms. He quotes Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and those are the major prophets, but he doesn't even leave some of the minor prophets out. Hosea, he quotes Amos, Jonah, Micah, and Malachi. Why is he doing that? Because he wants you and I to know. He wants you and I to know. If you wonder if I'm speaking to you, just check out what I've what God's already said. It looks at this in 1 John up here on the screen. Dear loved ones, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. He says, test everything. If there's a time in history, in U.S. history, we know the media needs to be tested, right? We need to check it out, right? We need to look and background check or facts check. I mean, they're doing it to our politicians, and now it's happening to them, which is understandable. We can't believe everything we hear. Not everything. So what do I do? Well, what I do hear, when I do hear everything, I compare it. I test everything. Like Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, and hold on to the good. But not only do I test the information, listen to me, I test my emotions in all this. I test not only my emotions, but my imagination that can play a part in this, or my preferences that can play a part in this. God told me I needed to do this and that. Well, are you sure? Is that scripture? Or are you just wanting to do that and you're putting a code of God said it? He wants us to test everything, and then from it, by testing it, then it reveals what is good, and we're to hold on to that. So that one of the best ways to understand, to know, is this burning bush moment from God or from something else, is to compare it with something that he's already said. I love this in Acts 17, and this is a practice here at Greater Alton. This is one of the reasons we have notes, so you can go home and check it out yourself. It says, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They were so glad to hear the message Paul told them. They studied the scriptures every day to make sure that what he heard was really true. Paul wasn't intimidated by that. Paul wasn't angry about that. I think that's smart. That's a good idea. Like Gideon with the fleece and Moses with all of his questions at the burning bush. Test it. Let's make sure this is from God. God's not angry when you do a background check on him or you do a facts check. He goes, what are you doing checking me? I'm God. He's checking himself. I spoke to your dad. I spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when he walked around, he says, this is what all the Bible said. This is everything that God said about me. He has no trouble with that, and you shouldn't either. You should question everything you hear and compare it to the Word of God. And when you do that, then the fourth thing you can do at your burning bush moment, when you realize I've given attention, I've humbled myself, and I've done some checking to make sure, is this in line with what God's already said? I need to trust God with my future. I need to trust God with the rest. I say it this way, if it passes the test, I can trust God with the rest. Would you agree with that? Yeah, if it passes the test, I can trust God with the rest. See, our burning bushes, let's be honest, sometimes they can be a little challenging, a little frightening, a little intimidating, a little exciting too. But once I've tested and I've looked at it and I've confirmed it, oh man, I need to trust it. I love this. God is talking to Moses. He says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Had Moses seen the misery of the people in Egypt? Absolutely. He saw it too. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down, and Moses, I can say, oh, you're coming down. Here comes God's presence. You've come down to deal with yourself. Awesome. This is going to be awesome. Yeah. I'm going to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. And I've seen the way the Egyptians are pressing them. So now go. I'm sending you. Huh? You know, God, you and I were on the same page. I mean, I was with you. Like, go get him, go get him. You want to do who? Who, me? You know, yeah, you. He knows something needs to be done. He knows someone needs to do it. He just didn't think he was going to be the someone. And don't we tend to do the same thing? I mean, if I could, will you allow me to say this? Some of you here are really good at pointing out what needs to be done. And you're always also suggesting someone else ought to do it. Has it ever occurred to you maybe you're the one that's supposed to do it? That someone is you? Oh, it can't be me. I'm this part of the body of God, of Christ. I'm this part. I'm the pointer finger. Well, Moses was excited about this, but see, the burning bush revealed something he wasn't quite on board with. He didn't like it. And so what's he do? He begins to question. He begins to doubt who God is. Now, who are you again? I know you told me you're the God that speaks to Abraham and all that. But all of a sudden, now that I'm in the picture, I have to get, wait a second. Who are you? Who should I say is sending me? And so he quotes something he said to Abraham that Moses knew. Well, my name is I Am. Moses doesn't argue. Okay. Well, wait a minute. I don't know. You know, I'm not, because we move from questioning God's identity. He moves to his own identity. But you know, I don't know if I'm the guy. What if they don't listen? He starts playing that little game. What if, because actually I tried to break up a fight one time and it got really stupid. I don't think they're going to listen to me. See, Moses, all Moses can see is what's right in front of him and all of behind him, just like you and I. But the one who dwells in the burning bush sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He sees it all. Look what he says. He brings it up. He goes, you want a sign? Here's your sign. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God in this mountain. He said, it's going to get done. You can be assured of it. Just like you're amazed at this moment and you realize how sacred it is, it's also a little scary. You will complete. Listen, God would never ask you or I to do something that we can't do. Let me say it this way. If God was to ask you to do something you can't do, He promises to help you. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But I guarantee you, He promises to be with you. Moses is scared. And God says, I will be with you. I will Emmanuel. I will be with you. And I will, and was God with Moses? The whole way. If there's anything the burning bush is wanting to tell you this morning is, you may be going through the ringer, you may be going through something crappy right now. The one who dwells in the burning bush says, I will go with you. Give me your attention. Listen to me. I will take care of you. I will go with you because I see the beginning and the middle and the end. You won't do this alone. I'll supply. Like Moses goes, how about this? Your brother can come along. I'll send somebody else that follows me at your side. Here is a church full of Aarons. Not perfect, but can be at your side through those tough moments. Let me close with this passage here. I want to use this passage to encourage you this morning to let this Christmas season remind you that God wants to be with you, even through this story. The Hebrew writer is talking to believers that are Jewish, and he says these words, "We say that Moses served God well, like a servant in God's house." That's a humble servant. It's true. "He took care of all of God's people. In this way, Moses showed clearly the message that God would speak later." He says Moses promoted a message that God would speak again. "But Christ serves in God's house as a son, not as a servant. He is the leader of God's people today. And we are God's people. We belong to his house if we continue to believe in Christ. We must be brave. We must continue to show people clearly that we trust God. He will do what he has promised to do." And may I close this to encourage you to let this verse nudge you to listen when you have maybe you can recall a burning bush moment, to ask yourself, what was that message again? And go back to that moment. Humble yourself, trust God, and he will help you because he wants to be with you. Moses ends up going to Egypt. That's how we know he trusted him. And as you leave today, may you go trusting your God, the one who dwells in the burning bush, because he goes with you to help you. You have a card in your bulletin if you want to respond to this lesson with a comment or a prayer request. We're going to give you a chance to do that while the worship team sings. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing that song, and then you can take those cards if you like, and you can put them in those baskets along with your contribution. May God bless us as we learn more about this incredible story, God's greatest story of all. Father, thank you. We praise you. And Father, we depend on you. We ask that we listen when you try to speak to us. Maybe you've spoke to us today. Maybe in this sermon. Maybe with a hug. Or maybe the weather just reassuring us that you care for us, you love us, you provide for us. Father, I pray, I know some of us here, we sometimes can feel like we say, "Where are you, Lord? I feel you're miles away." And I pray that we'll have the honesty and the courage and the humility to go, "You know what? I'm going to move closer. I want to hear God say, back up a little. I want to hear." We want to hear what you have to say, Father. We want to do what you want to say. And so, Father, we pray that you'll give us this kind of desire, the kind of humility, the kind of courage to look at what you're trying to say, or look at what we understand without so much emotion or so much imagination or whatever it be, or a preference, that will really hone in and listen to what you have to say. Father, you're the God of the past, the present, and the future. And Father, we pray that we'll trust you with our future, that we'll trust you with all of our heart. We just love you so much, Father. We thank you for the blessings in life. Oh, the good and the bad, you somehow work them in such an incredible way. We pray you do that this holiday season. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
O Lord, you search me. You know. What can separate me?